Revelation chapter 2, verse 18. And unto the angel of the church at Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flaming fire and his feet like fine brass. I know thy works and charity and service and faith and thy patience and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce many my servants to commit fornication, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to give her space to and I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. For behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death. And all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and the hearts. And I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest of Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none of other burdens, but that which ye have already hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of potters, that they shall be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star, and that he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning, God, for your word. We ask, God, you would reach down and touch this house, Lord, with the power, the grace, the glory of your Holy Ghost. Father, minister to us, Lord, and make us, God, to sit in heavenly places with you. For it is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Would you reach over, shake your neighbor's hand, look him right in the eye and say, hey, we got to kill Jezebel's children. Come on, y'all sitting there looking at me. Tell your neighbor. So I ain't killing nobody. Sometimes it's necessary. Hello? Title of the sermon this morning, Jezebel's Children Must Die. Now, the first three chapters of the book of Revelation are written to seven churches. Over the years, there's been a lot of teaching on that. I remember reading the books back when I first got in the church about the seven dispensations of the church world, and that's all wonderful. But I believe these seven churches actually represent the last day church. And in every one of these churches, we see a foreshadowing of the spirits that the last day church is going to have to encounter and deal with if they are going to be successful in living for God and moving for God in the last day. Amen. Each church has got its own problems. There's seven stages of church history that we looked at. But now notice, Jesus always comes to them in a certain way because he deals with each one of them in its own way. But I want to notice something. In the reports from the churches, there are two things that are very evidently not mentioned. Number one, they never talk about numbers. They never said this church is bigger than that church, or this church has got more folks than that church. And aren't you sick and tired of folks running to a big church because it's just a big church? Amen. I mean, you know why most people go to big churches? Because they can hide out and not live right in them big churches. And most folks won't know if they ain't there for 2 or 3 months. And then when they show back up, they won't even hardly have been missed, because there's so many people in and out. I talked to one guy that's a friend of mine, pastors a fairly large church, and he said, you know, you get upset when you have 20 people missing. He said, there's almost every Sunday morning I've got 300 to 400 people gone. He said, maybe 300 or 400 take their place, but he said, we shift as much as that many or more every Sunday. And he said, if I cried over every one of them, he said, I wouldn't quit crying from Sunday to Sunday. He said, probably couldn't get it all in. He said, but the truth of the matter is, that's where we are. And now we're in a church world where people want to run to these social systems where, you know, let's face it, we got churches around here you can go to and believe what you want to. You ain't got to live right. You just show up, tell them I believe this, and you there. And they even got little comfort groups that'll help you out. Oh, hello? Somebody amen me. I'm preaching the truth. I mean, they call seeker friendly. So just as long as you got something, you're friendly. You're about bad as a guy that Mike Warnke was with in Vietnam. He said he was an atheist. He said he stepped on a bomb one day, what they call a bouncing Betty. It's a little old mine. You step on it, it shoots up in there and blows up. Somehow when it came up, he got behind a tree just before it went off, and most of the shrapnel went into the tree. Little got in his arm. He said a few days later when he come out of the infirmary, he said he went straight to the PX. He come out of that PX, he had a lock of lamb's hair, a moon, a crescent moon, a star and crescent, and a cross on his neck. And he said, what are you doing? He said, I believe. He said, in what? He said, I ain't getting none of them mad. I'm just going to believe in all of them. Glory. We got folks like that in the church. I just believe. What do you believe? Well, I believe what the church does. What does the church believe? I don't know. We must believe the same thing. I'm here. Glory. And the truth of the matter is, these churches are battling these problems. But can I tell you, God is not so bad about how big a crowd you get as he is about what gets into the crowd when they show up. Oh, hello? Come on, church. I mean, we could have 500 and not see anything happening, and we've got a problem on our hands. What God wants is people are being fed the word of God. What God wants is people that are growing in the power of the Spirit. What the devil don't want is for the true power of God to get to moving in the church, and people get loose in the fire of God, because he knows when that happens, all this work is going downhill, and the church is going to come forward. Souls are going to be saved. People are going to be delivered, and God is going to move. Notice something else absent. He never tells one church to judge the other church when he points out their flaws in them. He never says, now go over there and tell them folks how bad they are because they messed up. Can I tell you, church folks, that when you see some flaws read out in somebody else, it's not for you to get on the telephone and tell everybody else about what somebody else is doing wrong. I need to wait a minute, because some of y'all got to get that to sink in. Because if you look in the mirror real hard, you're going to find some stuff in you. Hello? I know it's going to be quiet. I'll amen myself in a minute. Glory. I'll be honest with you. I was preaching at church one night. It got dead quiet. They just sat there. I started running down on the front row going, amen. Run back up and preach. It made the sermon a lot longer. But I am preaching the truth. But now, church, we got to understand, he never said judge them. The Bible tells us to bear one another's burdens. When I see a brother in need and I know he's hurting, I'm supposed to go help him get back up and walk down the road instead of being one of the ones throwing bricks in the night. That's good preaching. Amen. Every church was dealt with differently. You see, one had a two-edged sword. Another one, Jesus came as a fire. Another, seven spirits. This time he came in a different way, because he dealt with each church according to the particular calling and mission that they had. Thyatira deals with the spirit of Jezebel. Amen. Now, church, the spirit of a woman, this is the spirit of a woman that lived 1,800 years before this writing. She'd been dead that long. And all of a sudden, he turns around, and John on the Isle of Patmos gets some information about the church, and he said, you are dealing with the spirit of Jezebel. Now, I've had some people tell me, said that was a woman that was teaching it, but it doesn't matter if it's a physical woman or not. The spirit that he's dealing with is of a woman that lived 1,800 years prior to that. And notice what he said. He said, you're going to deal with her, and if you don't deal with her, she's going to wipe your church out. Come on, church. Some of y'all been asking me. I ever since I got here, folks said, all this church gets to a certain point, it goes back down. I'm fixing to show you why it keeps going back down. There is spirits in this church you've got to deal with if we're going to see this church move forward. And it's time some of us made up our mind. It's time for something to happen. I'm tired of going so far and backing up, but I'm coming through now with the anointing of God. Could you say amen? And notice what he said. It's an unclean spirit, and the manifestations of Jezebel were taking place in that church. This spirit gets into churches, begins to operate through people even today. Amen. But notice this. It said Jezebel had children, because he said, I'm going to kill her children. Somebody said, what are you talking about? The seed of rebellion, the seed of Jezebel gets in people's lives. The time to deal with it is while it's still a seed. When you get a seed in the ground, don't let it grow and then try to pull the roots out. Go ahead and take care of it while it's still small. You know the bad thing about babies? They grow up. Hello? Come on, church. I love kids. Amen. You know, some of y'all sit there and talk, oh, I like puppies, but I don't like dogs. Everybody likes a kitten, but they can't stand a cat. And we all like them babies. But when they start getting bigger and they're causing problems, then we say, oh, my God. Well, it's the same with the things going on in your life. While they're small and you got control, that's the time to make sure things are turned in the right direction. Could you say, oh, come on, church, that's good preaching. Amen. Well, what are the spirits of Jezebel? I'm going to give you the quick outline. Number one, there's a spirit of lust. Not just physical lust, but a lust for power and recognition. There was also a spirit of manipulation, control. Now, church, there's a big difference between manipulation and motivation. Now, I motivate people for the good of everybody. If we manipulate people, 9 times out of 10, it's because we want our agenda. Hello? Oh, that's good preaching. Last but not least, the spirit of Jezebel is a spirit of a married woman with an unmarried spirit. Oh, I'm going to get to that in a minute. But why do the children of Jezebel have to die? Why must we kill them early before they grow? See, the battle today is not just in the world, it's in the church. We are not going to take the world till we solve the problems inside. We are not going to be able to reach out to somebody while we're battling things going on inside. Can I tell you the only way an army can move, if it's in one mind and one accord, and the only way that can happen is that we know that we know that we know that everything's functioning the way God wants it to, and all the evil spirits that are trying to pull control are out of the way so the church can move in one direction with one mind in what God wants it to do. Could you say amen? That's good preaching. Amen. I told you I'm an amen myself. Number one, the spirit of lust. The Bible tells in Revelation 2:21, and he gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. That word fornication comes from a Greek word, porneia. We translate it into the English, pop a few letters to it, and we call it pornography. So we have a spirit of lustful looking. Hello? That was the spirit of Jezebel. Do you realize that this is the number one spirit that can keep you from a revelation knowledge of God? Hello? We need to watch the eye gate. The first thing Jezebel did when she became queen was lead the people away from God. She walked in, the first thing she said was, let's build some altars to Baal. Let's start offering sacrifices to my God, because the king married somebody that was ungodly. And can I tell you that if we don't get on the word of God and stay on the word of God, there will be spirits coming in, according to the book of, I believe it's Timothy, where he said they were deceived and being deceived by Jannes and Jambres, and because they didn't keep the word of God focused in their life, they followed after those things. And can I tell you, the Bible said in the last day, many would heap unto themselves teachers having itching years. We are at a place today where we've got to understand, if we are not Bible based in what we believe, then we can be led off astray by the things of this world that take us away from the very things God wants us to have. And the spirit of Jezebel would like nothing than for this church to focus on something beside God, because when God becomes the focus, reality of God begins to move in our lives and we deal with ourselves. And then once that happens, the reality of the lost world begins to burn in our heart and passion begins to grow in the church and souls begin to come to the altar. Our loved ones start getting saved, but it will never happen till we deal with a spirit that is drawing us from the presence of Almighty God. She tore down the altars to stop the people from praying. Church, it's not natural to stop people from praying. It's not natural to tell people. I've been to churches, and I know we used to have a little wooden altar. I almost wish we had them again, so folks would know where they're supposed to go. Hello? Well, preacher, I don't care anything about kneeling down. I understand that. But a humble person don't have any problem kneeling. Well, I got bad knees. I'll swap with you. Ain't gonna be no worse than mine. That's why when you see me get down and kneel after a while, I have to fight the flesh if I stay there long. Most of the time you'll see me turn around and find a place to sit. But once I've got humble before God, made a connection, it's all right if I move around a little bit. Glory. The whole idea is get broken before God. Get an altar and find a place where I can talk to him. Can I tell you, it is so important to go to an altar that God said, no matter what you're doing, make me an altar where you are and cry out unto me. And we've got people said, oh no, we don't need altars in the church. Yes, we do. It doesn't matter who you are, where you are, why you're here. That altar's for anybody that wants to come anytime they want to come. All of them just playing. I don't care. I went to an altar just because I felt intimidated. I didn't want to sit back there when everybody else went. But I'm here today because I went to the altar that night and something got in my heart and began to break me down and brought me out. Elijah had to confront the spirit of Jezebel. Jezebel can't stand people that pray, but she hates the prophet. Hello? As soon as Elijah showed up, she began to try to get rid of him. Now, I got to admit, he showed up pretty rough, going, you gonna die? Your blood's going to run in the street, and the horses are going to ride on it. That would have a tendency to make you mad. Hello? But we're talking about a man of God. And all of a sudden, the confrontation starts happening. Listen, Ephesians chapter 6. Y'all need to understand something. Our fight is not with people, but it's with a spirit that controls. Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Do you know that word power means broadcasting spirits? You read Ephesians chapter 2, you're going to find out in the second verse that devil is the prince and the power of the air. Can I tell you, the airways coming into our homes, coming into our lives, are controlled by man with one process in mind. I want you to go to hell. And I understand that if I can flood your mind with enough junk, the good stuff can't hang on. I'm getting popular every moment on it. I'm going to get you to crank my car in a minute, pull it up out front in case I have to make it get away. Elijah was struck with a spirit of depression. He goes in, makes the prophecy to Jezebel. Jezebel comes after him. Notice something. This guy's he's not just your normal everyday fella. Here's a guy prays and the heavens stop up. He's got a great victory going on. The prophets of Baal then confront him. They've done killed a bunch of the prophets. There's not any of them hardly left. He don't even know that there's 400 of them hid somewhere. All of a sudden, he's up there mocking them, making fun of them. I mean, this dude's close to God. They're sitting there going, we're going to offer it to our God. They said, go ahead, there's 400 of y'all. Go for it. I'll sit here and watch you. I'll watch, go ahead, do your thing. They get out there and dance around, and he tells them, hey, maybe your God's asleep. You need to get a little louder music, dance a little harder, do something, because he ain't listening. And I'm going to get technical, but it's exactly what the Bible said. It said, maybe your God's gone to the bathroom. Don't come to me at church, tell me I don't know what I'm talking about, because it said turned aside, properly translated out of Hebrew, it said went to the bathroom. In other words, he's got a lot of other things on his mind, besides y'all ain't getting to him. He's sitting there making fun of these dudes, because he knows their God ain't nothing. Can I tell you, some of us are not that sure about our God that we would stand up and mock other people that's doing stuff. And can I tell you, if that be the case, we ain't never gonna win unless we know that we know that we know that our God is the Lord God Almighty, who reigns forever and forever and forever, and that if we make a stand, our God is not going to let us fall. Could you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. Next thing you know, they get through. Elijah turned around and said, my turn. He goes out there and says, look, I don't like your altar. Tear it down. I got to build me a new one. He builds him an altar. He said, dig a ditch around it. Because I'm going to tell you something. My God's so bad, he can even make wet wood burn. He pours it up, water fills that thing up. I mean, they had to haul water. I've been to that place. They got to haul water up a hill to get it there. But he gets to bring that water, just dump it, just dump it. Ground gets saturated. Probably as bad as the desert is right now. Any of y'all been watching the news? I mean, out in the southern part of Arizona in the desert, it's turned to a quagmire. It's raining in the desert, and it's mud. And poor sidewinders are drowning. I mean, all this is going on. He's having a big time. By the time he walks out, now they've been up there dancing around, hollering, cutting himself, doing all kind of junk all day long. He walks out, 60-some-odd words, and he says, do it, God. Fire comes down. It not only consumed the sacrifice, it consumed the water. Dried the ground out. And then he took a sword and done away with all those prophets that had been dancing around there having a big time. And next thing you know, Ahab goes in, his wife said, hey, you got a problem on your hands because you done stirred up Elijah. That dude's done killed all your prophets of Baal. Everything's going good. And all of a sudden she says, don't worry about Elijah. I'm going to have his head. And she puts out a contract on him. And now she stands up and starts pushing. Can I tell you, when the devil pushes, if you back off the least little bit, he's going to push even that much harder? Amen. And about that time, she started pushing. And notice what happened to this man of God who was on the mountaintop, who's so connected. All of a sudden, a spirit of depression gets on him. And he goes down to a juniper tree and gets under the tree. And he's down there saying, God, kill me. Because if she gets me, it's going to be torture. Just take me on out now. Give me a heart attack, something. Just make it quick. Get me out of here.
We're in a church world where we got people living under a spirit of depression, and they don't understand. It is an outcry of another spirit that's got a control of their life. And if you'll break that spirit, you can get out of that depression. Come on, church. I mean, we got so many people under depression in the church world today. You got to make a reservation to get under the tree. Hello? When you see somebody down, don't jump on the bandwagon. Elijah's down. The prophets are there. Then somebody tells her, we can't find those prophets, but we know they're alive. What does she do? She killed their wives and their children. Can I tell you, if you get to the place Satan can't get to you, he's going to turn on your families. That's why you need to be where you need to be, so you can pray a covering over your family and keep the devil from tearing your family up. Can I tell you, church, that if we don't turn some things around, our loved ones are going to burn in the fires of hell, and we're not going to be able to turn it around. And it's time some of us made up our mind. I'm tired of being pushed around. I'm tired of the spirits of coming against me and putting me in a spirit of depression. I'm tired of having to spend all my money trying to buy my way out of junk. It's time to get on our knees and say, God, I rebuke this in the name of Jesus, and I want victory in my life if I've ever had it. Somebody said, preacher, you're crazy. No, the devil thinks he's already won in Alabaster, and he thinks he ain't got to put out any more power. But I got news for you, friend. I'm through playing games, and I'm through talking about what I'm going to do. I'm fixing to move in the power of God, and anybody wants to go with me, better jump on board, because I'm headed to God. And I let the devil know this morning, you have not won, and I am not backing up, and I am not running, and I am not turning around, but I'm coming forth in the power and the anointing of God, and victory is mine, says God. Ouch. Y'all may not be figuring out something, but I'm talking from the heart. A couple of weeks ago, I was disturbed. A couple of weeks ago, I thought about jumping ship. A couple of weeks ago, I felt like leaving. A couple of weeks ago, I had the opportunity to do something I've always wanted to do. But it was not the opportunity of God. It was the devil trying to pull me from where God put me. And I believe that the sermon I preached 2 weeks ago, when I said we have been positioned for God, was when the devil made up his mind, I'm going to get you out of position. I'm going to move them out of position. I'm not going to let you take them where God wants you to go. But I got news for you, friend. I have prayed through, and we are going. At least I am. And whoever wants to go is going with me. But I'm telling the devil to serve his notice right now. I'm not going to be depressed. I'm not going to lose another night's sleep. I'm falling into the presence of God, and I'm heading toward the high mark of God under the call of Christ Jesus, and I'm looking for victory. Notice this. John the Baptist shows up. The Bible said John the Baptist had the spirit of Elijah on him. Revival breaks out. Can I tell you that one of the great problems you have is that Jezebel hates a move of God. John shows up, people are getting saved, baptized. Next thing you know, Herodias gets involved. Oh, y'all know Herodias, don't you? She's the woman who's living with her brother-in-law who happens to be king. And John makes the mistake of telling him, you know, dude, that ain't right. That's not lawful. Hello? I got a preacher talk to me this week, told me he just lost one of his biggest tithe payers because he found out him and his wife wasn't really married. They didn't live together. Had been for 20 years. And he told me, he said, I'm sorry, boo, but you can't stand in position in this church if you're going to be living with a woman you ain't married to. He said, well, we can't get married. She's still married. He said, well, then you're out. I won't be back. He called me and said, I guess I'm gone. But he ain't getting back in while I'm here. Hello? Herodias goes to her husband and said, that dude's messing us up publicly. He's called us out like everybody didn't know she's living with her brother-in-law. So he throws him in jail. Figure I'll put him down there and get him quiet. Lock him up. You know the best way to stop having to listen to a preacher is figure out something wrong with him. Lock him down where you ain't got to listen to what he's got to say. But he's down in the jail prophesying. It's echoing up through the building. Eating old King up because he knows he's telling the truth. So he has a party because he figures if I can get high enough. Is that not what's wrong with most people that are alcoholics and drug addicts? That if we can get high enough, messed up enough, we ain't got to deal with this. I know it's 12 o'clock, but I'm on a roll. I'm fixing to break the spirit of watches. It ain't got nothing to do with Jezebel. That's a modern invention. Glory. You can still get your 10% at Joe Charlie's with your bulletin. Glory. And about that time, they're in the party. And Herodias goes and says, you know, my daughter, you really like to watch down the hall. The one I seen you slip down, watch, take baths and stuff. She going to dance for you, buddy. And she gets out there and does her little lustful dance and gets him so messed up with lust. Then he jumps up and says, whatever you want, up half the kingdom, you can have it. She said, I want John the Baptist's head on a platter. Because I'm going to kill the prophet. Hello? Come on, church. This is good preaching. Revelation chapter 12, verse 15. I want y'all to listen to this. And church, I'm not going to be a lot longer, but I'm going to finish this sermon this morning. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away in the flood. Now, water represents word. Prove it. For the washing of the water, which is the word of God. So water can represent word according to scriptures. So now we've got word spewing forth out of the serpent's mouth. Hello? I know we in the iPhone church. We got so technologically removed now. We got so much throwing stuff in our lives, we don't know which way we're turning. I mean, we got iPods we can get on the internet with. We got cell phone we get on the internet with. The problem is, where are we going when we go to these places? I mean, we got cable TV with 5,000 channels, and every one of them got something on that you don't want to watch. You turn on regular TV, and you hear people talk about problems and appendages of their body that you used to get arrested for. You see things on regular TV that they used to wouldn't allow anywhere. And now I'm just watching this show on TV. That's why I got so many old cowboy movies. I may see somebody get shot, but I know he'll be in the next movie. Hello? And I ain't got to worry about some dude talking about appendages on his or her bodies that I don't need to be seeing or hearing about. Hello? Somebody said, preacher, what are we supposed to do? Well, used to tell you, let's get rid of them computers and TVs. That's the dumbest thing I ever heard, because they good stuff on them. What you need is to get some conviction in your heart. Oh, I know I could hush. The serpent opens his mouth and the age spewing out images and words that destroy homes and families. We got wives upset with the husbands because they don't talk to them like them guys on TV do their wives. Why ain't you romantic like that fella? Then some dude comes along with a few lines and they gone. Free told me one time, you ain't romantic. I said, I ain't got a writer. When you're winging it on your own, it's hard to come up with some of this stuff. I come in one night, it's late. I stopped by the office. The only thing I could find was Shakespeare. I walked in the room, throwed the light on in the middle of the night. She jumped up in the bed. I said, what light breaks through yon window? It is the east and thou art the sun. Oh. That didn't work. Hello? Oh, we got TV shows that let the kids tell the parents what to do and get mad and throw fits, and the parents say, oh. I'll get on that in a minute. That's the next chapter. Glory. What we need is to practice access without entrance. The tree of good and evil was in the same garden of everything else they could have because God wanted you to have a choice. When you turn that computer on, when you turn that TV on, when you turn the radio on, it is your choice what's going into your head and what's going into your heart. And notice what he said, I search the mind and the heart as to what's going on and what we have done if we have dulled the ability that sins of the heart and sins of the mind are acceptable now and they are not acceptable in the sight of God. Could you say amen? Amen. Oh. But we need to be able to tell God, you can trust me. Because even the church folks ain't around. I know how to turn the channel. We need to stand up and say, God, I bind that spirit of lust that would lead me in that direction. Come on, church. I ain't got but two more points. They go quicker than that one. Because they all tie together, but now we've got the point of manipulation. Jezebel manipulated for her own agenda. Even when she thought her husband would do what he wanted to do, she had a fella die so she can get him a vineyard so he'd be happy again. Because as long as he's working in that vineyard, he wasn't worried about what she was doing. Y'all may not believe this, but we got people that will actually sell their soul to get somebody to do what they want them to do. Come on, church, it's good preaching. Can I tell you the spirit of manipulation, the spirit of Jezebel, is neuter gender? Now, what's that, preacher? It's a highfalutin word for meaning it could be a man or a woman. It ain't just women. You know, we remember we used to have Church of God preachers used to get up there talk about the spirit of Jezebel. I got that rouge on. Of course, that still covers some guys now. But used to be somebody talk about Jezebel. We was going to talk about women wearing makeup, brain balancers. See, y'all may not be old enough to know what that is, but I remember when the preacher used to knock them brain balancers. I lost a revival because of my wife. I'm standing, this dude come up and want to book me for a revival, and I had messed up and left the motel and didn't give her the key. And she was at a friend of ours' room, and she had just gotten her permanent, and her hair was kinked up like a squirrel had been wet. And this guy was holding this buddy. Woo. He didn't believe in nothing. Hello? I mean, you couldn't do nothing and live right. Jesus couldn't have gone to his church. And he's standing there talking to me about revival. She come walking up. I need a key to the room. He said, who's that? I said, my wife. He said, I'll see you later. He didn't know she was going to put them big old rollers in her hair and blow it back out and look holiness when it's over with. Glory. Come on, church. Some of y'all would like me to be preaching on that because you'd sit there going, that ain't affecting me. Well, I ain't going to preach on something that ain't going to affect you. Because you see, the spirit of manipulation, the spirit of control. Can I tell you, it's not always a male or a female. It's not always an older male or female. It can be a child controlling a family. I ain't going to do that. You keep talking to me like that, I'm going to run away. See, the problem some of you got is you don't understand. If you cut them off from their money, from their phone, from the TV, and from the computer, and you put them in solitary, they'll start understanding what life's all about. Well, they'll run away. Well, quit piping them filet mignon while they're in the pig pen. Let them eat that slop. They'll understand what life is all about at home. Hello? Well, that's not what the latest psychologist said. Some of y'all need some tan, some hide, what you need to do. Come on, church. That latest psychologist probably ain't been married but 20 times. Can't stay married, but he can tell you how to do it. I done told y'all, there's some folks around here been married 50, 60 years. You want to know how to stay married? Go sit down and talk to them. Don't ask some idiot that wrote a book and went to school that don't know nothing. Well, you can't hit your babies. Why? Freud said so. His son committed suicide at 20. You want your kids to do that? Then raise them up like he raised his. You'll get the same product. Hello? Preacher, what do you think? I'm not getting no help from over here right now, so you adults got to come on. My God, I wasn't even in a Christian home. My mama believed in practicing the Word of God. I'm going to beat the fire out of you. Some of y'all remember that? My mama didn't even warn you. She was doing it while she was telling you, I'm going to beat the fire out of you with whatever was in her hand. Child abuse, my foot. My son told me one time he's going to call 911. I picked up the phone and dialed it. It's an hour and a half to get here, boy. I'm finna join myself. I'm going to jail. I'm going to make it worthwhile. Am I lying, son? You remember that day? Because you reached over and hung the phone back up. And they called. We had a hang up on 911. I said, it's okay, sir. We got that solved. And I don't want nobody to come up to me. You're right, preacher. Spare the rod, spoil the child. That is not in Scripture. Never has been. Let me give you Scripture. Proverbs 23. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. For thou shalt beat him with a rod, it shall deliver his soul from hell. Hello. Now, I ain't talking about abuse. I'm talking about putting some discipline in some lives. I'm talking about really getting some correction going where kids understand that at 15 years old, I am not grown up. I don't need to make grown-up decisions. I'm 15 years old. Come on, church. Well, preacher, you're meddling. No, I'm trying to help us get to the place we can see kids grow up and get a hold of God so that 20 years down the road, they're not looking around going, what happened to me? I've not been in church. I need some. Come on, church. This is good preaching. Now, I'm not getting no help, but I'm down over here especially. They're going, God, my mama's going to kill me when I get home. No, they're not. We're not talking about child abuse. We're talking about getting some discipline so we can live right, so we can come to that place we understand there's a right and wrong way to do everything. My God, God beats a fire to me sometimes on a regular basis. Hello? If you build on the word, the storms will not destroy your foundation. I got to hurry. I'm getting into the spirit of I'm getting ready to leave. Point three, Jezebel is a married woman with an unmarried spirit. Loves the ceremony, likes the dress, just ain't making no real commitments. Hello? I like the honeymoon, but when it's over, I don't know if I can handle this living with you. Come on, church, y'all know what I'm talking about. There's a whole lot of people get married. First 6 months, they need to partner up. Next 6 months, they wish they had. Then you got divorce. Well, everybody else is doing it. Oh, my God, I know people jump off bridges, but I ain't getting out of my car and diving with them. Well, you just don't know. Can I tell you that learning to live with somebody is one of the most important things you'll ever do in your life? Oh, that's good stuff. How do you tell the spirits in you? Well, a woman sees a guy walk by. I'm going to go on to women because they nail us men on a regular basis. You guys got them eyes. Women do too. I'm at camp meeting a couple of years ago, and this dude come walking through there, and I'm there to talk to these people, and this woman's in the group. She goes, I thought she was going to pass out. Her eyes bugged. Her husband's standing there, and I'm thinking, I feel sorry for you, dude. Hello? Oh. If the look voice is stronger in you than the don't look voice, you got a problem. I'm not saying I sat there and said, I get it. Hey, listen, before you get through lunch today, some of y'all go get a chance to check this word out. You're going to be over at the restaurant, and the girl waiting tables or the guy waiting tables, he's going to come by in a pair of tight pants or a short skirt, and you're going to find out. Hello? You want me to tell you how to handle it? Just about time you think about looking, go, Jezebel! After they slap you, you won't think about looking no more. Ah, come on, church, it'll work. You embarrass yourself, you'll quit thinking about it. That's good stuff. I'm going on. Jezebel has authority. I go to Alabaster Church of God. You know how many people I meet that go to this church I ain't never met before? I'm at the hospital visit. So I go to Alabaster. I say, really? What church in Alabaster? Church of God? I go, y'all know my jackets and stuff? I go, how come I don't know you? Oh, I hadn't been there in a while. You know, when I was in school, where are you? I'm Baptist. There's more Baptists in my school than there was in the world. Most of us didn't go to church, but we're Baptists because that's the easy thing to say because nobody could check it out because they had such roles and nobody knew who was where. Glory. Come on, church. We that bad in the Church of God now. We got 500 people on the books and 150 showing up because we got 350 out there running around and go to this church that don't ever show up. But this is a church. Hello? A married spirit or a married person with an unmarried spirit. That's my church. But I'm over yonder if I like it better. I ain't coming back on Sunday night. Bless God, ain't none of your business. That's fine. But every time you see that happen, that uncommitted spirit is going to lead you to a point that one day rebellion will take over your life and you lose everything you ever had. I don't understand it, church. Whatever happened to loving God so much you wanted to be in His presence? Come on, church. Not yet. I practice what I preach. I preached a man's funeral a few weeks ago. I had to miss church here. You know where I was at 6 o'clock? I was sitting at a church in Speke, Alabama, listening to the pastor preach because I didn't want to miss church. And I couldn't get back here. So I stopped to hear somebody preach because I wanted to be in the presence of God. If you have to be made to go to church, there's something wrong with the commitment you have to your God. And it's got to be dealt with. Find somewhere and get committed. See, church, if you got a bad thought, repent right then. If it comes back, realize that you've got a child trying to reproduce itself, and it's time to get busy with God. Because I got to get rid of this before it reproduces and I can't control it. See, while it's small, I can control it. At that time, I need to go to God. Jehu was anointed of God to kill Jezebel. When he got to Jezebel, there were three eunuchs standing around her. Those of you who don't understand, eunuchs are non-productive people. They cannot reproduce. They're with her on the wall. Can I tell you, hang around people who are non-productive because of a controlling spirit in their life, you will become just like them. If you hang around rebellious people, you will become rebellious. If you hang around people that are not committed, you will become uncommitted. If you hang around people who are always trying to control, you will try to control, because you're going to be like those you hang with. All of a sudden, Jehu walked up and he looks up at those guys and he says, "Throw her down." And those three unproductive men, suddenly under the anointing of God, hit them, and they took the woman and threw her off the wall. And the Bible said her blood splattered on the wall when she hit the ground. But that ain't bad enough. Jehu rode through the blood, because he understands the life of the flesh is in the blood. He wanted to make sure there was no life coming out of that blood to reproduce the spirit that was in that woman at that time. Can I tell you, some of you need to get this under your feet. You need to get on top of it. Put your feet on it and say, "I'm standing on it, God. And I'm ready to come out. I'm ready to have a victory. I'm ready to move on by. I'm ready to make it out. I'm going to bind it in my life." And my Bible said, "Whatsoever I bind on earth, it's going to be bound in heaven." And if I'm willing to stand up and say, "I'm ready for deliverance and I'm going to bind it," I got a right to believe I can come out and I can have victory. Can I tell you this morning, I know without a doubt that God put this sermon in my heart. I fought it for 3 weeks because I did not want to preach it to you. But I know with all my heart that there are people here this morning. I am talking to you, and it's time this church made up its mind. We're going on, and the only way it can happen is I bind the spirits that have been binding me so that I can move into the presence of God. And when we do that, I believe we're going to see a rising in front of us we never dreamed passing before, because my God is ready to do in this house a work of his glory. Would you say amen? Stand with me all over the house. Revelation chapter 2 verse 24. "But unto you I say, and unto the rest of Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, which have not known the depths of Satan, and as they speak, I will put upon you none of your burden." Next verse. "But that which ye have already, hold fast till I come." Next verse. "And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, him will I give power over the nation." Church, you're here this morning and you've got some problems in your life you need to get rid of. This is a day to do it. This is a day to make up your mind. I'm going to bind it in God. I'm coming out with victory. If you've been bothered by things in your life you can't control, this is a time to say, "I'm taking control, because I got a God going to give me control. And I'm going to find a way to be an overcomer." Father in heaven, I thank you this morning, God, for your word. Master, you said it's not by might nor by power, by thy spirit, saith God. Father, I commend this congregation into your hand. Every heart, every life, every soul. Lord, have your